This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Strange One, Rob Bolander, and Alex Mitchell.
Coming up on TMS, Poetry of the Poultry.
Self-cooking chicken.
Venture Engines.
80% EBIT.
Outright. The Puberty Angle.
Living in a damned onion.
Report deaths for tax incentives.
Ball cock not included.
Who names their toilets?
2038. Nice.
Tesla, Rise of the Machines.
Raw meat for speedrunners.
Rob Lowe on the floor.
I think I said speedrunners. That's fine, though. Your killer white cell count.
Sincerely, Steve.
David Copperfield and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
This is Blinky Blanky Girl. She has over 10,000 views on Instagram, 6,800 on TikTok, and is up and coming on Meta and X. Who would like to own this influencer? We'll start the bidding at 20. 20, do I hear 20? There's 20, do I hear 25? 25, let's hear 25. 25, 30. 25 from Mattel Toys.
Okay, love the show.
The Morning Stream. Sometimes I can and sometimes I can't. Who gives a damn? Hello, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is The Morning Stream for January 4th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian Ibbett.
Hello, back from the dead.
Back from the deep, dark hole you found yourself in.
Deck from the bed, that's right.
Brian was sick.
Little voicey voice problem, but yeah. I'd say I'm, you know, 80% now.
80's so, good. I like 80.
80's great. Yeah. And I was probably down to 55 yesterday.
Oh, my.
I'd say 55.
That's pretty... I mean, 55 is pretty low. That's, you know.
It's pretty low.
So
felt like crap.
This is a good jump back, though, then. This is a fine, what's the word?
Like a little 24-hour deal, recovery.
I don't know where that played. So was that how long it took for Tina, or is it different for her?
Actually, time? I was a little bit quicker than Tina. Not that I'm bragging, but.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Take that, Tina. Well, I hope she's feeling better, too, because, you know.
She is. Yeah, she's. It's just the occasional cough for her, and so far the cough has been really intermittent for me. I've got my hand close to the cough switch if I need to use it, but for the most part, it's been very, very occasional.
Well, good. Well, thank you, nature, for being less harsh than you probably wanted to be. You know what I mean? Sometimes they want to get
nature
you.
Nature was nicer to me than it usually is, my friends. Yes.
Or your killer white cell count was just on fire this week. It just was like not having it, you know?
That's right.
Well, you think you could just walk through the front door and you're going to go John Wick on its ass. Nice job.
That's right. Exactly.
There is some, speaking of John Wick, the director of John Wick, who a lot of people think is the next name in all things action films.
Okay.
I could see why you'd think that. The guy's very good at those John Wick movies. He says that he would direct that direct these upcoming Blade movies in a heartbeat.
Really?
And it got me to thinking. They already got a dude, right? Well, they had a guy. Yeah. He got let go. They got another guy. That
one. Mahershala Ali. You mean for director?
For director.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this guy, if they didn't have a director locked in, freaking
Derek Kolstad, by the way.
Yeah, hire that guy.
His best name. What else has he done? Anything?
All the Wicks.
Obviously all the Wick movies, but is there...
I don't know.
Let's see here. Something called One in the Chamber back in 2012.
That sounds fun.
The Package. Oh, he did Nobody.
He directed that?
Odenkirk. Odenkirk thing, yeah. Executive producer and well, what's he? Film, oh, writer for Nobody.
Oh, okay. I didn't think he directed it. But yeah, that makes sense, though. Boy, those movies are a lot alike, so yeah.
They really are, so yeah, not a surprise. Ilya Naishuller was the director on that one.
Yeah, I look, Blade could use some...
But actually, he's writer. So we got Chad Stahelski, or Tahelski, is director on the John Wick films. So maybe that's where we were talking about a different guy.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, whoever that dude is. I just saw this interview and he was like, oh, I'd do Blade in a heartbeat, he says. And then I started thinking about some of the close quarters Blade combat you could do with that guy's directing style, and it could be awesome.
Yeah.
So go ahead and do it. I don't know. Fire whoever you got and put him in there. Keep Mahershala Ali. We're all set. We're ready. Let's go.
Yeah, so if we're talking Chad Stahelski, then this guy is just pretty much done John Wick, except he was second unit director, second unit, for Captain America Civil War. Mm. We all like that.
Yeah.
Birds of Prey, the Harley Quinn movie, and that's it. And mostly stunt work, actually, for everything else. Tons of stunt work.
So he's a stunt, like coordinator or actual stuntman?
I think, looks like...
Because that's cool.
It's funny because it says stunt work. He was the Brandon Lee stunt double for The Crow.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I want to.
Yeah, no kidding. He was Keanu Reeves' stunt double for The Matrix.
Oh, okay. That one replacements. Worked out. That worked out.
Yeah, that one did a lot better.
Yeah.
But also a lot of coordinators, fight coordinator, assistant stunt coordinator, very much, which makes sense. I mean, you look at those movies and you can pretty much say, you know, This is a movie directed by a stunt coordinator, a fight coordinator.
No, and it's maybe his best. You know, it's like all those guys that start in music videos and then have huge film careers. It's like just take a different path. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're better. I'm glad Blade is being made, and I'm glad it's we're finally getting some snow today. I don't know if that's going to last, but this winter has been nothing so far, really.
Yeah. Yeah, for us too.
Except the mountains.
We're getting a lot in the mountains, which is good. Good for you as well. Yeah. And,
lots of skiing, lots of good times up there. My dentist claims that he skied the other day. This is how cocky my dentist is. He goes, so I'm up skiing. I'm boarding. He's snowboarding because, you know, a guy, he just turned 50 and he's feeling his oats a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
So he's like, yeah, I'm up there and it's, you know, it's nice. It's like 38 degrees, really nice up there. So I'm not wearing gloves. I'm wearing just a light jacket and just, you know, no hat. I'm just rocking it up there. And I said, oh, that's interesting. And he goes, yeah. And all these people came up there from Arizona. They were in some group from Arizona and they all were bundled up like they were going to die in the cold. And I'm like, well, yeah, they're used to Phoenix temperatures. You know, you can't come up here and just expect it to be. You know, I don't know what.
Right. You can't expect them to immediately adapt to the cold weather of the mountains of Utah. Come on now. Mm-mm.
My sister-in-law, every time they travel from there to here, even in the summer, she's like in a full-on jacket or sweater because she thinks this is cold when it's 85 compared to when it's, you know, I guess because it is. It's 100 million degrees down there. So they understand. They live in a damn onion oven.
I have that same problem when I go to San Francisco. I feel like, I'm from Colorado. San Francisco is going to be fine. Mm. And just the dampness and the humidity of San Francisco, especially in the winter, is tough for a Coloradoan.
Yeah. I like the nice dry desert air. That's what I like.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. We got some stuff. I had a dream that was very weird. You may have made an appearance in it because I woke having the feeling that you were there. I don't know how to explain that, but I think you were in this dream.
Okay.
But all you were not the subject of the dream, which is this. So in my dream, and I have stopped trying to understand my dreams. Okay, everybody. So you can interpret them all you want, but I'm done with that futile exercise. I'm never going to understand my dreams.
I'm looking at this description and I'm absolutely dumbfounded. So please.
So there is a chicken in my dream, like a chicken, little, you know, bird.
Regular sized chicken or a giant chicken?
Like a regular chicken, you'd see in a coop or whatever. And to start with, it kind of was just waddling around, making little pecky noises and all that kind of stuff. And then in the dream, the big moment is it pulls up in front of me, stops in its tracks, immediately catches on fire. Like just a
big, spontaneous woof.
Yeah. Okay. Just right. Chicken on fire. Imagine a chicken lit on fire, maybe even gas to help it go. I don't know, but just a torch of a chicken. Just. And then he sat there, pulled out a little tiny book, little tiny black book, while he's on fire, and read me poetry for what felt like hours. I'm sure it was minutes, maybe even moments, because that's how dreams are. They're like flash in the pan. And I may have had it between 6:30 and 6:35. Wow. I don't know, but it felt like hours in there. And this flaming chicken just sitting there with a little black book reading me poetry. And I couldn't tell you any of the poems, but it was all stuff like, "Together we fled from the place of yore and only found the locked door," and this kind of thing. All from a chicken on fire.
That was a really good little rhyming couplet there, by the way.
I'm pretty good with oars. I can get the oars done.
Yeah.
But it was weird, and I don't like it. No, sir, I don't.
That's, man, for somebody who doesn't drink.
Maybe I need to. Maybe this is a sign.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, maybe
my drinking has dulled the sharp point that would be my dreams.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I've thought about why I get these, and it's not like I'm doing anything crazy before bed. Like last night, especially, I was like, I'm gonna go to bed sort of early. I think I was head to pillow by 10 or something.
Mm. Oh wow!
Yeah,
wow.
I was like, I'm gonna get some extra sleep. I'm gonna, whatever. And we had kind of a high pressure thing going yesterday with the weather, so I was feeling kind of headachy and stuff. I was like, just good time to go to bed. Let's do it early. Everything's fine. Now, till about 3:30 when I had to get up and pee. I had to pee.
Yeah.
No dreams, no nothing. That was fine. Just woke up, peed, went back to
really?
Bed.
Oh, really? Okay.
So this came late.
Post pee. Yeah.
I think it happened right before I woke up, honestly. Because I woke up at 6:50 and it was after the dream, and then I just got up. It's like, well, I'm not staying in bed after this. So it really did feel like one of those dreams that felt long, but probably got inserted into my subconscious like a minute before I woke up. I don't know.
There's definitely a weird correlation between the things that you typically draw and the things that you dream about.
Yeah,
like
maybe.
Your imagination works, like, it basically, it's the same road those trucks drive down, basically, is like, because I can see you drawing a chicken on fire reading poetry.
Yeah, it's not too far. Well, see, that's another question, and I hate to use the metaphor given the proximity to what we're talking about, but what came first, the chicken or the egg? Do the dreams inspire the drawings, or do the drawings inspire the dreams? I don't know.
I don't necessarily think that one inspires the other. I think that your fount of creativity, whether it is producing things that escape out your hands into a pencil onto a piece of paper, or with your eyes closed in the middle of the night, I think it's like it is the geyser from which all of this spews forth.
So I'm relieved. Let's give it a puberty angle here.
Oh, jeez.
No, let's not. But the point is, like, it's
I think it all spurts out from the same place.
But it's like you gotta vent your engines, right?
Right, exactly. Well, I think you vent your engines whether you're drawing them or dreaming them.
Yeah.
But I think it all, and I wonder if that's the same case for a lot of artists. I can't imagine the family circle. Bill Keen, all he dreams about are little dotted lines all over the city from the path that he took that day.
Yeah.
But I think that, they're probably like Gary Larson, I would assume would have nutty dreams like you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He probably gets up and writes them down, and that's where his best day
probably
stuff came from.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible. Sometimes it feels like a full-blown mental illness when you're looking at a chicken on fire talking poetry. But
sure.
I don't know, man. And then it's fine for the rest of the day. It's not like I'm sitting around going, chickens are on fire. Like I don't daydream these things, but lately nighttime's just funky. Well, anyway, that's weird. Can't wait to hear everyone's interpretations. Please feel free to send them in.
Here's what it means. You had rotisserie chicken for lunch.
That's right. We got a text from Steve. His name is Sincere Steve.
Sincere Steve. Aww. Yeah.
I'd have never questioned his sincerity until now, but now I do. because this makes me think this is an alter ego of Steve's and he's not always sincere. I don't know. But he says, "Dear Scott and Brian, I am delighted to inform you that in 2024, everybody born in 1962 will turn 62. Love the numbers, though, Steve." Wow. Do we know anyone?
That is,
who do we know? Do we know any tadpoolers? Any
62-year-olds?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, I'm guessing that Sincere Steve must be 62, otherwise he wouldn't be thinking about this.
Oh, maybe. Or he's close to it or something.
What year do we turn 69? What year do the people born in 69 turn 69?
Is let's find out.
Like 15 years from now, is that right?
Is that right? Jeez.
So in 2038?
Is that right?
Let's
see.
Web of Magic seems to confirm.
You are correct on the years. 15 years. That doesn't seem like very much. Does it?
It doesn't. Well, I don't know. It does. It does and it doesn't.
My perception of 15 years is not what it used to be.
No, no. Yeah. Neither is mine.
It's going to go too quick and I don't like it. No, sir, I don't. Well, we'll celebrate it then. We'll get to the big 6-9 and we'll laugh and say nice. We'll say, you know,
buddy who was born in 69 is turning 69 this year.
Yep. And the whole chat will go, nice.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the text, Steve. 801-471-0462. We got another one that's, it begs the question, did we do this? Good morning, Sco and Bri. When Uline catalogs were first mentioned on the show, I made one comment about them. 2 days later, I got one in the mail. I hadn't got one of those in the previous 10 years. So he thinks maybe our evocation of all things Uline brought him a catalog. What do you think?
It's kind of like, you know, we cause celebrity deaths because we talk about them. We also cause receiving the Uline catalog. Mm-hmm. Now, he says he made one comment about them. Did he make them? It depends on where he made that comment. Did he make that comment to Uline, or did he make that comment in chat or in Discord or via text or whatever?
To his mailman as he drove by?
Yeah, exactly. Mailman said, "Oh, I got a Uline catalog for you."
I've always got three or four here in the car.
Just in case. prop myself up on the chair with them.
That's right. They do pretty good at holding my weight.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I will say this sometimes. You know that celebrity death thing that we get nailed for sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yesterday, it hit me that there was some article about Lieutenant Dan, the character.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I went, I haven't seen Gary Sinise forever. Like, where's Gary Sinise been? And a little part of my brain went, don't be talking about the guy, right? You know,
I mentioned Gary Sinise in the New Year's Eve trivia questions.
Oh, did that come up there?
Yeah, I talked about Gary. Or I talked about Lieutenant Dan because Gary Sinise.
Oh, maybe that's what made
Forrest
me think
Gump,
of it.
He says, "Forrest, the day you become a shrimp boat captain, I'm going to be an astronaut."
That's right.
The next year, he was almost an astronaut in Apollo 13.
That's right. No, that's probably what spawned it, because I could not remember exactly where I was thinking of Gary Sinise at all from. Like, why would he pop into my head? That must have been it. But yeah. I haven't seen him forever, and I don't know what's going on there. I'm sure someone said he's really active on Reddit, which is a weird thing to hear. But what Gary Sinise movies have been?
Yeah, let's see. He was in a TV show called 13 Reasons Why. For 10 episodes in 2020.
Okay.
He was in two movies in 2020. I Still Believe in Joe Bell.
Okay.
But nothing since.
Joe Bell. What was Joe Bell?
Joe Bell.
Is that a movie or a TV thing?
That's a movie.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
A 2020 American biographical drama road film directed by Reynaldo Marcus Green.
With your Mark Wahlberg, your Reed Miller, and everyone's favorite Connie Britton. Yeah, like her. Like her a lot. All right, well, then he's fine. I guess I just haven't seen movies he's in. That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't need to see them all. I just like the guy.
We just hope he's okay.
Is he all right?
68!
Oh, man. Too bad he wasn't born in 69. Wait, if he's 68, that makes him... Let me do the math. He was born in 55.
Oh, I don't know. I closed the tab, but I'll Oops, right. What did I just do? Oh, no.
Oh, no. You've destroyed your entire desktop.
I've changed the... I've unedited the last song line in our deal. He was born in, 55.
Oh, my gosh. Look at the math on me today. Amazing.
Yes. Impressive.
Write this day down, everybody. You'll never forget it. All right. We're going to do some news, and it'll be fun. So here you go. It's time for the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by No Coverville Today, but there will be, the plan is there will be a Guess the Connection tomorrow morning. And you guys have had 3 weeks to work on that Guess the Connection, so I hope we have a winner. I don't know, but we'll find out tomorrow morning. And there will be a new game and a new prize issued tomorrow. That's Guess the Connection at twitch.tv/Coverville at 9 a.m. Mountain Time.
Would that be a digital prize or a physical prize?
A physical prize.
Oh, my.
Yes.
That's exciting.
This is how I get rid of a lot of the things that aren't quite up to, like, get rid of it on eBay level, or it's too big and I've got to take it to, like, GameStop, but small enough that I can throw two or three things in an envelope, in a padded envelope, and somebody will be really happy with them.
Yeah, it is great getting rid of stuff like that. I'm trying to organize all my stuff into piles of, this is definitely leaving, this is maybe leaving, this I should sell, and then I get distracted and play Shapes instead. That's how things go for me.
That's the problem. Well, yeah. For me, it was Disney Dreamlight Valley for a long time.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's talk about this this Tesla robot. Now, some people have assumed they meant the new one. They're making like a humanoid robot over there at Tesla. That's not what this is. This is a car, one of the robots, like you'd see in any car manufacturing plant.
Like an assembly line. Looks like the robots that Tony Stark makes that help him hold stuff while he welds it.
Yeah, great big arms and pinchers and stuff like that. Yeah. That's exactly right. So here's what happened. A robot at Tesla allegedly attacked an engineer. I don't know why they got to use language like it's a human. It's so stupid.
Sure.
Whatever. Stabbing its metal claws into his back and arm and leaving a trail of blood on the machinery, according to a 2021 injury report. So this is actually an older incident.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Just came to light. The resurfaced.
Unsealed. The Tesla robot documents have finally been unsealed.
That's right. You've been excited for Epstein's island list. Guess what we got now? Yeah. We got this. Yeah. It says here, let's see, where is it? The resurfaced incident comes amid new concerns over automated technology and reports of injuries in Tesla's factories have been allegedly swept under the rug. The 2021 report said that the worker was given no time off work, despite eyewitness accounts saying the engineer was severely injured. Quote, we've had multiple workers who were injured and one worker who died, whose injuries or death are not in those reports that Tesla is supposed to be accurately completing and submitting to the county in order to get tax incentives. Wait, you have to do that just to get tax incentives?
I guess. That's really interesting.
Shouldn't you have to report deaths for a whole bunch of other legal reasons?
Right. Well, I guess we have to put these deaths. Nothing certain in life except death and taxes, and apparently they both go on the same form.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm trying to imagine anything scarier than the robot that works next to you welding a car together just suddenly lurching to the left and stabbing you in the back.
See, that's the question. Like the allegedly attacked an engineer. Those things, there's no AI program, no. As far as I know, programmed right. into robotic arms and assembly lines. There's a very good chance that Joe Doofus, and I hate speaking ill of the injured, the trail of blood, Joe Doofus, just probably didn't stay a required distance away from the arm, and the arm was doing its usual thing and went through.
Yeah, my guess is it didn't suddenly become sentient and decide to rebel against the humans. This article would like you to think that, but this article is smoking the crack. Well, we hope he healed up after that. I guess he's had a couple of years now, so.
And let's let's do the real quick thing before all these names come out in the Epstein thing. I'm going to set the over underline of former presidents at 2. Do you want to take the over or the under on that?
Thing is, I think it's exactly 2. How does one bet when you're so sure about that? Like in a sports situation, do you do the over?
No. So then. Yeah, so you basically would be a push if it turns out to be 2 and you bet the over or the under. If it does turn out to be exactly 2, then
Oh, crap.
So we could say 1.5 is what to use, Travis?
Yeah, I'll do that. Okay. Yeah, 1.5.
You'll take the over?
I'll take the half, the 0.5 president. Yeah, because I'm virtually positive that Clinton and Trump have been there.
Trump, yeah,
100%. I don't think Bush knows shit about it. And I know the current guys, I'm sorry, but he just didn't know. And neither did anybody else. It's these two chuckleheads.
How come I never got an invitation?
I never got asked. Come on, man.
Come on. How come we never got asked?
Is it because I was only vice president then? Come on.
Should have gotten an invitation. Come on.
All right. Where was I? Oh, let's do this story.
Okay.
And yeah, by the way, so that thing, that list hits, right? And I thought I would hear almost immediately as soon as somebody had time to comb through it. There are plenty of fake lists out there. There have been those for a year. Like, they already, forget about those. But this thing, I thought they would disseminate it and have a whole list so we could just easily, without me having to go crawl through 400 PDFs myself.
Right, right.
Have a distinct, give me a top 10.
I don't imagine that it's just a spreadsheet. I think somebody does have to go through and parse the list and actually put the names from the list into a spreadsheet, right?
Yeah, I think so. I would assume so. The documents are, so it's 34 34 gigabytes of data.
Yeah.
If you want to download it, but I don't want to go through that. You know?
Yeah, I mean, people in the chat are telling us that the list is already out. But I haven't seen it yet. I haven't found, I mean, I know the list was unsealed. I know it's out, but I haven't seen a list.
Oh yeah. It came out yesterday. So I have a link to the actual documents. I just want someone from
but it's not just a clear, I want just a clear list.
Yeah. I want a trusted source to go through the documents so I don't have to, which feels like some media's job to do. So do that. Make it accurate. Yeah. Give me some transparency so I know that you didn't fiddle with it or you don't have a bias in it. And let's just see what you got. I want to see it.
Someone in the chat room is saying, I'll send you the TikTok. No, I don't want a TikTok. I want a list.
No, I want
send
a list.
Send me a Google Doc, not a TikTok.
If the TikTok has an actual list, fine. But how are you going to prove that? You know?
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, give me something concrete. I want to know who went over there. Mm-hmm. I want to know who went. Because here's the truth of it, whether we like it or not. Whether some people's biases like it or not, some people went over there, just had no idea, did nothing while they were there and came home. Went because they're billionaires on this thing. I got invited. I'm going. It wasn't a sex party every single trip. So those people, I feel really bad for anyone who's like that. And I don't know who they are because I have no idea. What I need is a list that says, these people went there and went there specifically because they were taking part in underage sex parties. Right. And we have proof. Right. And here's the proof. That's what I want. So I know the right people to A, shun, and B, not support in any way. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Make it easy for us, the American public.
Yeah,
or international, because you got Prince William, or Prince Andrew, not William. Sorry, William. You're fine, buddy. You're good. As far as I know.
Prince Andrew, but also according to the list that the Al Jazeera list that Dr. Calhoun sent over, Michael Jackson, Stephen Hawking, and David Copperfield.
Yeah. Yeah. The Hawking one's making the joke rounds right now for obvious reasons.
Sure. Of course.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm trying to not be in the salacious part of this. I just kind of want a little bit of closure on it. It's like I'm sick of this damn list existing in the vapor. Now we have it. So what is it? Let's just be done.
Yeah.
Let's just get it over with. Pull off that Band-Aid. I know there's a lot of really influential, high money people involved. I understand that. F that. If they're pedophiles, freaking out them. I don't care.
Yeah.
Do it. Put them in jail. Every damn one of them. I don't care who they're affiliated with. I don't care who they vote for. I don't care who they are or what they are. They should all go to jail if you've got the proof. Also, right.
That's the thing is seeing Michael Jackson at a party is one thing, knowing that he participated in any sort of underage activity at one of Epstein's parties is a totally different thing. Maybe different example. David Copperfield.
Yeah. Oh, is he on that list?
David
Copperfield.
David Copperfield. Yeah.
Yeah. Copperfield.
David Copperfield.
He went, but he made the orgy disappear. They didn't. They never asked him back.
That's right. Exactly. I bet he made a lot of women disappear by saying, hi, I'm David Copperfield.
Yeah. Hello.
Okay. Yeah, see ya.
that's one of the darkest tricks he ever plays, is just introducing himself to women.
Exactly, yes.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here is a story for you. Yes. Four men are charged. We promise this is not a continuation of the whole bet on two presidents thing, or one of them owns a gold toilet.
All right, yeah.
Totally unrelated. But four men charged over the theft of a $6 million, although this says $6 min, they mean million.
It was MLN.
Oh, is that an L?
That's an L, yeah.
Oh, I hate how...
Yeah, close. I haven't seen abbreviation for million, MLN, like that.
Yeah, that's why. I think that's why it threw me. Yeah. Yeah, that's a weird way to do it. Anyway.
Capital M, right? Six capital M is your appropriate abbreviation for a million.
Yeah, if it were me, I would do that.
Yeah.
These people, who knows what they're thinking. But anyway, it was a $6 million gold toilet from an English palace.
Ooh
fancy. Mm. Four men have been charged over the theft of an 18-carat golden toilet from a palace in southern England, where it was kept as an art exhibit before being stolen in an early morning heist in 2019, according to prosecutors. The fully functional toilet, valued at £4.8 million, that's $5.9 million. That must just be the gold, and that's it, right? Like,
yeah,
that's the value? Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, certainly not the wax ring was not taken into the calculation.
No, they didn't think of that part.
The plunger, the ball cock.
Not included in the
calculation there.
I love the term ball cock.
Yeah. We talked about this golden toilet before on this show when it was put in.
Yes, I think so, didn't we? Years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I guess 2019 or so, something like that. It says, was part of this exhibit, blah, 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 an Italian conceptual artist. Boy, it's an artist with a lot of grant money. Britain's Crown Prosecution Service, or the CPS, said James Sheen, age 39, was charged with one court count, rather, of burglary and two counts relating to the transfer of criminal property, that being the toilet. Three others, sure. Michael Jones, Fred Doe. These sound like fake names.
That sounds like a fake name. Fred Doe.
Fred Doe. Like, is your brother's name John? Like, what's going on, Mr. Doe?
Exactly.
Bora Kukuk, or Gukuk, Gukuk.
Guckuck. Guckuck.
Boraguckuck.
I bought one of those at IKEA a couple days ago, actually. I still need to put it together, but...
Well, they still make you assemble those. That's a bummer.
They do, yeah. If you go and get a Boraguckuck there, then... unless that's a soft G, Boraguckuck. I like that even better. Boraguckuck.
Boraguckuck. That's even a better... that's a better name for IKEA.
It's a better IKEA furniture.
It's
a dresser.
Those people all got a charge as well. Police said that at the time of the theft, burglars broke into the palace with two vehicles and took the toilet sometime before 5 a.m. That's right before you need it. It was not immediately clear if the toilet named America...
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Gold toilet named America. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Sounds suspiciously like it's trying to be poking fun at...
Yeah. Yeah. Seems like maybe you're using your art to poke us in the eye a little bit there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm.
Surprised the toilet isn't holding a gun and eating a cheeseburger.
That's right. By the way, this palace, it's called Blenheim Palace.
Yeah.
Birthplace and ancestral home of British wartime leader Winston Churchill.
Oh, nice. Great.
Yeah. Let's see. It was saddened by the loss of the toilet, says the place, which also had been on display previously at New York's Guggenheim Museum. So we've seen it here in the States.
Yeah.
And here it was called
America then too.
It was called Britain here. No, I don't know. I don't know how they did it. That's a fun story. Here's a story that'll warm your heart, Brian.
Sure.
Not that you need it. You've had a low-grade fever. You don't need warming. You need cooling. 13-year-old.
You need cooling. I'm not fooling.
This is how you know Brian's getting better. He hears songs and things. This is how you know.
Exactly. That's when I cross the 80% line. Then it's like, oh, Brian immediately goes into song when he hears a few words.
Yep. And a measly 20% is all you got left. You're going to have that by tomorrow, I think. Anyway, right. A 13-year-old, this is super cute, this story, becomes the first person to beat Tetris on the NES. So this is the old NES version of Tetris. I'm going to remind people before I say anything else about this story, because people forget this. The original version of Tetris on Game Boy and NES and maybe a couple of other iterations before they changed this did not have the reserve piece functionality. So right.
Yeah, you couldn't see the next. Oh, so that's different than being able to see what the next piece is, the reserve piece, like being able to say, ooh, I'm going to put this piece over here. Give me the next one.
Yeah. Like if you see a long one, but you don't need it yet. And you're like, well, I'm going to put that in reserve until I need it. There's a mechanic for that. Jamie. Yeah. Use that one, Jamie. But you and then you can pull it out later when you need it. Right.
Did I have a fever dream, or did you and Bobby talk about this with Tom yesterday, or is that a different thing?
No, this is the same one. We talked about it.
Okay.
This is just more detail. We had very little to go off yesterday, but here's the deal. The classic puzzle game Tetris has been around for over 3 decades. We know this. There's a kill screen in the game. This kid hits the kill screen, and the entire internet loses their mind. But here's the fun bit. It was considered to be unbeatable until this kid did it.
Really?
And now there are, well, I don't know how many. Maybe hundreds of people now making the attempt to beat his score, because if he can do it in whatever it was, 29 minutes.
Oh, so it's the speed. So basically, obviously you can't, once you get to the kill screen, game over, you can't go further than that. So it's really just a matter of getting to the kill screen faster.
Yeah. And now it's like raw meat to these speedrunner people. They love this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I watched a bunch of this yesterday.
Really?
Oh yeah. It was great. It's really actually pretty fun rabbit hole to go down. It's a good community, a really supportive community. So when somebody's about to break some big record, the others trying to break the same record don't get catty. They actually like root on whoever's going to get the new record.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. See, that's good.
Yeah. I like it a lot. That would be a fun reality show, by the way. Can you imagine a reality show based around speedrunning? I would watch the hell out of that.
Yeah, I think I would watch that too. Like a reality competition. Yeah. I did have to watch the new Rob Lowe game show while I was sick. Basically, I'm laying there on the couch, like trying to figure out what I'm gonna watch to fall asleep. Ended up watching Logan, which didn't help.
Yeah, that's kind of a movie you want to watch.
I've seen this enough times that I could probably fall asleep while I watch it.
Yeah,
but didn't. But Rob Lowe's new game show, the premise pretty dang cool, but of course it's a primetime game show, so it's loaded with will they did it and find out after the break. But it's they've got a giant floor. The game, I believe, is called The Floor, because games now game shows have to be the blank.
Mm. Yeah, I've noticed that. That's
the
a real trend.
Is the floor.
And he's single hosting this, right? It's just him up there. He's
single hosting this. And the game, the premise is this floor is divided into 100 squares, a little grid. And it's a LED floor. Like, it's massive, and it's got LED underneath it. They have 100 people. Everyone gets a square, and in their square it says when they signed up what their area of expertise was. So this person's is barbecue, and this person's is dogs, and this person's is sci-fi movies, right? So everybody's in their little grid and their little square with their one subject that they picked when they signed up for the show. Somebody's picked at random, and they immediately have to choose one of the four people connected to them ordinarily, no diagonal, just orthogonally, I should say, orthogonally connected to them, and challenge them at their area of expertise. So if Bill is sitting there on his barbecue space and he picks Joe, who's next to him with dogs, he has to answer questions about dogs.
And this is, are these real categories? Barbecue, dogs, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. These are real categories.
All right.
So they have to go back and forth. And in the case of dogs, they're basically going back and forth with a video screen that shows them a dog breed, a photo of a dog, and they have to identify the breed. Beagle, Basset Hound, da, da, da. And they go back and forth. Whoever wins absorbs the square, and the person whose square got absorbed is out. And now that person you know, basically has a few more extra squares that are tangent to their own square and kind of take over the territory. It's a very clever concept. If it wasn't so game showy, I'd love watching this.
Yeah.
But
I like the concept too. Everything you described sounds like fun. That seems like a fun. So is it by winner is determined by also who has the most squares, or those disappear if you're kicked?
No. When you basically it's territory. Yeah. So I mean, as you absorb squares, you'll take over more and more of this board. And if you say, you know what, I'm gonna go back to my territory. Like they win a game, you've got the choice of continuing to challenge people, or go back to your territory. So you you go back, and then they randomly pick another person. Well, if they're attached tangentially to you, they can challenge you, and you might have the category now of the person you ousted instead of your own category.
Interesting.
So if dude who had dogs won. Yeah. He would absorb barbecue, and that would be his category, which is a category that he did not...
he didn't sign up for. He doesn't want that.
He didn't sign up for. So that part of it's kind of interesting, but...
that sounds all right as a core concept. I like it.
It's a very clever core concept, yeah. But...
A little too network TV.
Somebody who claimed that their specialty was books. And so it showed them book covers and removed one word from it, right? So it's like... blank shades of gray, 50. Okay, good. Then it gets to the blank of wrath, and he goes, book.
Book. Like,
your specialty is books.
Yeah.
I feel and like you think.
Even I know it's grapes of wrath, you dummy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. That sounds like a fun. Oh, you'd need the grid, I guess. But you could do this on a board. It's probably a board game thing. You don't need a grid.
Yeah, or I think it would actually be a fun multiplayer online kind of game.
Mm. Yeah. Like a, I don't know, the kind of stuff we do on Playdate would be really fun with something we could do.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, you know, get 25 players, a 5x5 grid, and then do the trivia questions that way.
I would do that in a heartbeat. That sounds like fun. And I don't need Rob Lowe to do it, okay? I don't need
him. Need perennially handsome Rob Lowe to accomplish any of that.
No, you can get it done without him. Well, anyway, congrats to that kid. I think that's awesome. And now the world is all trying to beat it, even though the record prior to this was kind of stagnant. Nobody was going after it. That's the way this stuff works.
Well, exactly. Somebody's going to say, I've got the best record on Toe Jam and Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Try and beat that, folks. And then all of a sudden.
Yeah, suddenly it goes crazy. It's funny. I watched a online documentary on YouTube by this guy. I actually don't want to spoil his role in all of it because there's a point to his role in it. But go look for just search YouTube for documentary space. How would I put it? I guess Punch Out. Just Punch Out. Because it's the original NES Punch Out.
Okay, it's about the game Punch Out. Gotcha.
And the records around it.
Oh my God, is the real Glass Joe?
I'm actually the real Glass Joe.
I'm Glass Joe. Look at my horrible glass features. No, it's not.
My jaw, easily breakable.
Although Glass Joe, the character, plays a huge role in speedrunning that game. How you beat him matters a lot. Anyway, I learned a lot. It's like things like 2 hours long, and I thought I was going to be bored. I was actually riveted by it. And it basically just talks about this 10-year-old stale record in NES Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And then the sudden freak out that it caused when someone figured out just one slightly new way to shave like a second off the time.
Yeah.
And then this mad dash for everybody to try to beat it. And then who ultimately did. And all, I was so into it. I couldn't turn it off.
Huh. Interesting. Anyway. I'll have to look for it. Okay. Punch-Out.
I'll never be a speedrunner, but I sure enjoy, seeing it. It's really cool.
Yeah. It's a fascinating competition thing, and it just feels like I ain't got time for that. I ain't got time to play something as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
When there are all sorts of new things that I want to finish as enjoyably as possible.
Yeah.
But look at these kids, right? You got the 13-year-old Tetris player. You got the 16-year-old darts kid, the phenom in the UK.
Is he really 16? Have you seen that kid?
I have seen that, quote unquote, I've seen that kid.
He looks 36.
He does. Oh, no doubt. Like he's got better facial hair than.
I saw that and just went, no way that kid's 16. It felt like somebody was wearing a, a kid's suit saying, "Hello, fellow teens. I'm here to throw darts."
Right. Right.
That was weird.
I imagine they have to vet him, obviously, and make sure that he really is, if he's gonna, especially if he's going to be playing in a junior league. But I want to see an interview with him. The Lester Holt story that I saw about it, they didn't have an interview with him, but I want to see him, like, you know, stepping up with his beard and go, "Yeah, well, so I've been playing darts since I was about 8.
And I just got my license, and now I can drive anywhere I want and play darts. Can't wait till I'm able to drink. When I'm 21, I'll look 55.
Well, anyway, yeah, kids are all right, you know?
Kids are all right. Yeah, the bottom line, what we learned today is kids are all right.
The kids are going to be okay. They're beating records, having fun. I don't know.
That's right.
On all us olds die, they'll be fine. all right.
Children of our future, it turns out.
It turns out they are. Yeah. Man arrested after opening heroin, cocaine, and meth store in Canada.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, this is no good. Vancouver man was opening a store.
It's called an Arby's.
That'd be great if they just converted a commonplace. Anyway, this dude has heroin, meth, cocaine, MDMA, and arrested less than 24 hours after launching his little business. Duh. Jerry Martin is his name. That sounds great to be named Jerry Martin opening a drug store.
Jerry Martin. Yeah.
It is a mobile shop called The Drugs Store in downtown East Side Wednesday. So this is a like a thing you can move around different neighborhoods.
A pop-up shop, basically.
Yeah, is what it sounds like. Yeah. This is a neighborhood that has been ravaged by the overdose epidemic. He said he wanted to give people a safe supply of drugs that have been tested to ensure they don't contain fentanyl.
Except for the container of fentanyl.
Yeah, except for the fentanyl, which you can also buy through this guy's mobile home.
Which is laced with sweet and low.
Right. Oh, no, then forget it. I'm out. I don't want that. Let's see. They said, okay, see, police said that they started gathering evidence after the suspect started selling cocaine, crack, and methamphetamine and heroin out of the back of a mobile trailer. We support measures aimed at improving public safety for people who use drugs, including harm reduction services and discrimination or decriminalization. Sorry, said someone in a press release. However, we remain committed to our position that drug trafficking will continue to be the subject of enforcement.
Mm.
So get out of there, dude, with your pop up.
With the drugs store.
The drugs store.
With your food truck for drugs.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I kind of understand the thinking. He's capitalizing on this idea that if you provide drugs safely, you're going to have less problems.
Yeah, I mean, there's measures in a lot of cities to have safe using zones, like where you can go and take your drugs with somebody there to make sure that you don't overdose. And if you do overdose, there's a doctor on standby that will help you.
Right. Right. Very controversial, those places, by the way.
Some people are like... Yeah.
Just tell them to quit taking drugs. That's the answer. Quit taking them drugs. I don't understand addiction at all, so I say, take away their drugs. I don't know why he has that voice. Sorry to everybody.
I don't either, but he definitely disapproves. Whoever that guy is.
Yeah, whoever that loser is. That is it for your news. And today, because it's a short day, that is it for your show. All right? I have an interview I have to do. I know, it's short, sweet, to the point. No Wendy today. You'll have to get your therapy another way until next Thursday.
That's everyone. Right. Yeah.
Including Real me. Brian and I have to give our life examples to her. We're going to miss out too, you know?
Yeah.
She'll say something like, have either of you had a dream?
Brian, let's talk about a time when you did the sold drugs out of a food truck.
Yeah. How did that make you feel? Exactly. Yeah. Well, we'll find out next week when Wendy returns. Here on the show for her first appearance of 2024. That is going to do it for us, but we got a lot of stuff coming up, so I would like to point your squinties to Core tonight at 4 p.m. That's right, 4 p.m. Mountain Time. There will be an episode of Core with myself, Bo, and John. A big weekly roundup of all things video games. If you are interested in being there live, it's at 4 p.m. right here at frogpants.tv, or you can get the podcast later. No Coverville today, but Brian did mention tomorrow 9 a.m. he'll be doing Guess the Connection.
Correct.
And you should probably want to check that out. Win some prizes.
That's right. Twitch.tv/Coverville. And then right after that, Couch Party. Yeah. What if we did another Couch Party?
Let's do it. Couch Party 10 a.m. So about an hour after that. And we will be watching the remainder of what's left of the first season of What If.
Correct.
And then we'll probably do a break from that for a while and sneak something else in. We'll see.
For sure. Yeah. Because I just finished watching season 2 of What If. So I'm not ready to do that again. Somebody suggested Real Genius, and
the Val Kilmer thing movie.
Yeah, yeah,
I do that.
Suggested Real Genius.
Why not?
People, heck yeah, I love that movie.
I don't remember the last time I saw it. I don't have so few. I remember him.
I don't even know if it's.
He's like a cocky, good-looking science guy in college or something.
Correct. Yes.
And that's all I remember.
And he's helping his buddy Mitch, who's also smart but unlucky in love.
Mm.
And BioCast says, or what about the Goonies? I feel like that's a... We got to let TV's Travis weigh on that one, because that does feel like a perfect wait you haven't seen to do with Scott.
Yeah, the fact that I've never seen the Goonies requires more, I think, more, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't know why I've never seen it. I don't know what my deal is. I own this thing, two copies of it on various media.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Don't know why.
It's good. It's good. It's, you know, it's a sweet story about a kid who lives in the Northwest who's about to get evicted.
Oh. Well, I can't wait for...
In Astoria? Is it in Astoria? I think it takes place in Astoria.
Twin Peaks 3, The Wreck.
That's right.
All right. Well, that is... who else did we forget? Oh, Film Sack this weekend. We're doing Throw Mama from That's the Train. So
correct.
Come see if Owen doesn't really have a friend. You'll find out this weekend.
Find out if Owen really doesn't have a friend.
That's right. And tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 p.m., Play Retro with me and Brian Dunaway. I forget what we're doing. Crap. What are we doing? Oh,
speed running there. Toe Jam and Earl. You heard it here first.
What was the near Spy Hunter? Jeez.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
The Peter Gunn theme. That's how I have to remember the name Spy Hunter. So we're doing Spy Hunter, one of the quarter sucking machines of our childhood, and we'll decide whether that stuff holds up or not tomorrow at 1:30. That is it for today.
Cool.
Except for a song. Stuff. Brian, you got a little song that you worked on or wrote yourself and sang and everything? Oh, none
of that? I wrote it myself and performed it with this voice. Lucky you all. Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to do that for Film Sack. I've got to have to pick a song with a low register, a little Barry White.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of your mama, babe. James, a.k.a. Slash Blank in the chat and Discord, said, hey, Brighton Sunny, January 4th will be my 20-year wedding anniversary to my beautiful wife and my beautiful home and my beautiful car. I'm not sure how we made it this far, but we did. We met when I asked her to swing dance at a party in college. We slow danced to Fade Into You by Mazzy Star, and I knew she was the one. If you can find us something fun to dance to, I would love that. Here's to another 20+. Love the show, though. James.
Aww. That's awesome. Congratulations. 20 is no small feat.
No, that's very good. So, James, that's such a great song, Mazzy Star's Fade Into You. And last year, a new artist that I've just recently discovered for myself, and I'm not sure other people have found her as well, but one of her songs also made it into the Coverville Countdown. I love her voice. She's got a very unique voice and a unique style of singing that just draws me in. Her name is Valerie June. And on her album Undercover from last year, she included this cover of Mazzy Star's Fade Into You. Hope you all like it. Hope you all like her voice. Some of you might. Some of you might not. I don't care. I'm playing it. Here's Fade Into You by Valerie June.
See you guys on Monday.
Some kind of night into your darkness. stranger's light comes on slowly. A stranger's heart is out of home. You put your hands into your head, and then it smiles, cover your heart.
Frogpants.com.
I don't need nuts, they give me gas.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.